as I said at the beginning of the ceremony, letting go, renunciation, is right at the heart of Buddhist practice. It's right there in the Four Noble Truths. So the Buddha found for himself, as we find, that the suffering that we feel, the dissatisfaction with life, the disconnect, is due to our attachments, our clinging. And the way to the end of suffering is to let go of those. So it's right at the heart of the Buddha's central message, central teaching, central practice of finding the way to the end of suffering for ourselves and for all beings. Letting go of attachments is the crucial thing. Now when we sit in meditation and we come to allow ourselves to be aware of what those attachments are, we may find that there are attachments to things that aren't that helpful to do, but in themselves the doing of those things, or the way that we do them perhaps, is also causing harm for others. And so we see that it would be a good idea if we stop doing those things. Refrain from causing harm for others. Either stop doing them altogether or just do them in a different way that doesn't cause harm and doesn't cause distress and grief. So that inward letting go of attachment may well lead to external changes in our life in the sense of what it is that we do and certainly in the way that we do things. But letting go of attachment isn't just about changing external things. In fact, it's not fundamentally about that at all, and doesn't necessarily have to involve living our life differently in the way that the story of the Buddha's renunciation seems to suggest. That to let go means to completely transform your life, to leave your family and do something completely different. If when we sit in meditation we come to see that there are a lot of the things that we do that in themselves aren't harmful, they're not causing suffering, they're not causing harm, not causing grief and distress to others, nevertheless we can see that we have an attachment to them. And that attachment is a work there, and the subtleties of that can go really quite deep. And in that situation, it doesn't necessarily follow that we need to do anything radical about the actual content of what we do, the content of our lives. We don't necessarily need to make any big change to how we live and what we do. But we do need to look at the attachment that's there. Because we see, in seeing the attachment, we see that that attachment causes suffering. And what that means for each of us, what that attachment is, and what the suffering, what the way in which it causes suffering is, will be a bit different for each of us. So I think the story of the Buddha's renunciation is pointing to is not about making big changes in our life. It's about that internal work of letting go of the attachments that we see, whether they're attachments to things that actually aren't helpful and are harmful, or whether they're attachments to things that in themselves are not harmful, but the attachments cause us suffering. And although that's the core message of the Buddha's renunciation, in trying to convey that to people, how do you actually tell that in a story? How do you point to what it means to let go inwardly? And I think that's why in the story of the Buddha's life there is this very definite physical act of leaving the palace, leaving the family. Because that's something you can convey in a story. You can convey to people what it's like to let go, how deep the attachments can run. When we hear the story of the Buddha's renunciation, one of the responses we can have is that what's he doing leaving his family? Isn't that just cruel? Isn't that just unthinking? Isn't it selfish? And I think it's natural that we have that response. You know, if you're wanting to be compassionate to all beings, isn't that the worst thing you could do? Is abandoning your family. The more I reflect on the whole of the Buddha's life, or the teaching of the Buddha's life, the story of the Buddha's life, it seems to be more and more that it's not actually meant to be a history. It's not actually meant to be someone's story. Maybe he was born into a wealthy family. Maybe his father was a king, or perhaps you could say an Iron Age chieftain in northern India. I don't think we'll ever know. I think the story, as it is, as we've heard it, as it's come down to us over 2,500 years, is there not to tell the story of a particular person. It's there to tell us about Buddhist training. What does that involve? And so you can certainly say that, well, 2,500 years ago, we can't really quite know what the social situation was, what the life of the Buddha was like, living in the palace. You know, he left his family, but there would have been lots of other people to look after his child and his wife. We can say all those sorts of things, but in the end, we don't really know whether this event, as it's portrayed in the story, actually happened as such. And I think that for me, that's becoming less and less the point. I think the point is much more that it's to do with the basic fact that letting go of attachment is right at the core of the Buddha's teaching and of Buddhist practice. And so there's this element in the story that draws our attention to it and tries to convey what it's like. And when we begin to see the attachments that we have, particularly the attachments to our own views, our own opinions, the way we do things, attachment to us, attachment to our existence, attachment to our sense of ourself. What does it feel like to let go of that? And it's as deeply challenging as it must be to leave a young wife and a newborn child. It's that kind of heart-wrenching, as it said in the offertory, use that phrase, heart-rending, heart-wrenching. It goes right to the core of us, and it seems like it's our very self that we're abandoning, that we're turning our back on. It isn't easy. It isn't easy at all. And why would we do such a thing? As I mentioned at the beginning of the ceremony, when we come to see the suffering that's inherent and completely bound up with that attachment, when we see that more and more clearly, then we come to see that holding on to the attachment hurts more than letting go of the attachment. However deeply challenging that letting go is, however much it seems like we're ripping up everything we know about ourselves and life, we get to the point where the pain and suffering of carrying on with those attachments, carrying on with acting in ways that cause harm, hurts us so much more than letting go. Although, of course, until we've let go, we don't really know quite what that's like. But it gets to the point where the suffering is such that we just have to find an alternative, because it itself is tearing us apart. It's not quite like the hurt of being scalded by boiling water. It's much more the hurt of something that's kind of niggling away at us, which doesn't allow us to sit still. We have this sense of not being content, not knowing our place in the world, being finding everything unsatisfactory, and that dissatisfaction is really what the Buddha's pointing to with the when he used the word dukkha, which we usually translate as suffering, but it's that sense of discontent, not quite knowing our own true sitting place. And when we come to see that not quite knowing of that discontent, that not really knowing our own place, that sense that there must be something more but I don't know quite what it is, when we come to see that that's because of our attachment to all sorts of things, including us, our views, our opinions, our history, all sorts of things, we get to the point where there just is, it seems like there's no alternative, we just have to let go, even though it seems like not just turning back on our child and abandoning our child, but abandoning ourself, abandoning who we've been until now. And I think that's the other aspect of the story of the Buddha's renunciation. An inherent part of the letting go is stepping into the unknown. Just as in the story of the Buddha's renunciation, leaving the palace, this is someone who's grown up only in the palace, in the story, the way the story is framed, doesn't know anything of the outside world, has only been out into the city four times to see each of the four sights, but then decides he's going to completely leave the palace and live as a wandering ascetic or wandering practitioner. Doesn't know anything of the world, probably knows very little of human relationships. How can you make such a step from what you know into oblivion? And that's what it feels like when we come to see that there are aspects of me that actually are tripping me up, are getting in my own way. How can we let go of everything we've known and step out into that vast beyond, that's beyond the comfort of the palace walls, beyond the protection of everyone who's been supporting us? A school visit recently, a boy put up his hand, having questions, a boy put up his hand and asked, "How did the Buddha get his money?" Which is important and led us into talking about the alms round and how the Buddha was supported and how the temple is supported. The Buddha leaving the palace probably had in the way that the story is framed, no concept of needing to be supported, of, having been fed all his life and had clothes provided and everything he needed. To step beyond that into a totally unknown world, unsupported, without even realising just what it would quite be like. That's exactly what it feels like when we see that there are aspects of us that we need to leave behind, let go of. And they are us, we are them. We're letting go of ourselves and stepping beyond that, in a certain sense. And again, why would we ever do that? We only do that when we get to the point of realising that it's unsustainable as it is. It's untenable. I'm keeping myself locked in a cage of my own views, my own opinions, my own way of looking at the world. The sense I have of needing to defend myself against the world, protect this being, keeps me isolated from the rest of the world, keeps me from knowing the deep interconnectedness within which we find stillness, content, within which we find the end of suffering. Because the end of suffering can't just be the end of suffering for me, it has to be the end of suffering for all beings. And so I think that's why the story of the Buddha's renunciation is why it has this deeply shocking element of leaving a family, leaving a newborn child, leaving everything he knows. Because actually, in Buddhist practice, which is really what the story's about, that's what is called for. If we're willing to look closely enough, we see that things that seem to go right to the heart of who we are and what we are have issues with them that we need to look at and we need to understand, and there are aspects we need to let go of. But coming back to kind of where I started, that letting go of doesn't necessarily mean that we have to change all the outward forms of our life. It doesn't mean we have to leave our family. It doesn't mean we have to change job. It doesn't mean we have to move to a different country or a different area. Because fundamentally it's not about changing outward circumstances. It's about letting go of attachments. As we explore what it means to let go of those attachments, we may find indeed that there are some circumstances, some aspects of our life that we do need to look at and we do need to do a bit differently. I find it seems to be much more about the way I do things, not the particular things that I do. Probably for most of us, there are very few, if any, things that we do that are in themselves inherently harmful to others. Most of the things we do are neutral or benefit ourselves and others. And it's not a question necessarily of needing to refrain from doing them. It's much more finding a way that we can do them that expresses the life of Buddha, rather than having within it selfish aspects that are building up, boosting my own sense of myself, my own ego, my own self-fascination. Can all the things that we do be vehicles for expressing compassion, expressing love, expressing wisdom, expressing our connectedness with the world? And of course that's an ongoing exploration. We can say to ourselves, well, yes, of course they are, they can, and that's what I'll do. I'll just be totally compassionate and loving and wise and everything will be great. But of course, life isn't that simple. It's very complex because there are all sorts of attachments that we have that we haven't yet seen. And we can only let go of attachments as we see them, as we come to see the suffering within them. And so it's an ongoing process of letting go. And as we let go, we're able to sit a bit more still, perhaps. And as we're able to sit a bit more still with the thoughts, the feelings that arise, the emotions, the memories, we begin to see other more subtle threads of attachment that we hadn't noticed before. And that gives us the opportunity to be aware of those, see them, see how they work in our lives. And as we let go of those, so again, our life becomes a little less tangled, a little less painful for us. There's a little more ease there, a little more feeling of connection, a little more feeling of groundedness, which in turn allows us to see a bit more clearly. And on we go. And we don't need to have a theory about, or a speculation about, whether that goes on forever or where it leads. It's enough to see in this moment that there's an opportunity there. There's an opportunity to see the suffering that arises now, see the attachment that gives rise to that suffering, and refrain from it. So at the heart of the Buddha's renunciation is the message not about a person who left home, not about us needing to change the circumstances of our life. The core message is about being willing to see the attachments that cause suffering. And as we see the suffering, as we see the attachments, let go of those attachments, refrain from acting in a way that continues to cause suffering.